We're now going to have our reading from God's Word. We're back in the letter of Colossians this evening, which you'll find on page 1182. If you haven't got a Bible, I'd recommend that you have one, because then you can follow along. And please put a hand in the air, and a steward will be poised on the edges to bring you one. That's good. You all have them. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read the first 8 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in the heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. This is God's word to us this evening. And if you have your Bible, please open it again to Colossians chapter 1. Which you'll find on page 1182 of the Church Bibles. Just wait for our musicians to take their seats. And with that open in front of us, let's bow our heads and seek God's help. Father, we were thinking together this morning of that phrase, hallowed be your name. And we simply make that our prayer tonight as we gather around your word, that you would show yourself to be holy, that you would show yourself to be the God who has no equals, that you would show yourself to be the God who speaks truth, and the God who saves. Father, please hallow your name tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I have here a £10 note. I'm not showing off or anything like that. But there are loads of ways that if I was going to give you this £10 note, that I could show you that it was the real thing. So, for example, I could talk to you about the 10 on this side that is slightly raised. I could hold it up to the light, and I could show you that it's got a watermark, and I could show you that it's the correct watermark because of the way the queen faces. I could hold it up, and there's that metal strip, and it's dashed on one side, but if I hold it up, it goes right the way through. There are lots of ways that I could show you that this is a real £10 note. Now, why would I do that? Why would I want to show you that this is a real £10 note? Well, if I'm going to give it to you, I guess you want it to be real, don't you? You want it to be something that you can actually use when you go into a shop. You want it to do what it says. You want it to be worth £10 so that you can spend it. You want me to show you that it's the real thing. Now, as we come back to the letter of Colossians this evening, I want to suggest that that's kind of what Paul is doing in this opening part of his letter. Here in this letter, we meet a group of Christians or Christ ones, people who have heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and they have believed it. It is the gospel message, as we were thinking about last week, that Christ is all we need. And this is a group of people who have heard that message and have believed it. In verse 5, it's called the gospel. Or just a little bit earlier in verse 5, it's called the word of truth. A little bit later in verse 6, it's referred to as the gospel of God's grace. That's his undeserved kindness to sinners like us. It is the message that Christ is all they need. And in many ways, that gospel is like Paul handing to the Christians a £10 note. Okay, it's worth a lot more than a £10 note. But he's handed them something of value and of worth. And at the start of this letter, it's like he takes that £10 note and he says to them, I have handed you the real thing. I've handed you a genuine article, something you can trust, something that has value. It is real, and I'm going to prove it to you. Now, why would he do that at the very start of a letter? Well, he does it because his big aim in this letter is that he wants them to continue with the Christ they first believed in. Have a look with me at chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This is where we spent some time last week. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. He wants to give them confidence, and indeed us this evening in the gospel we've believed in, that what we have in our hand is the real and genuine article. That we're following the real Christ. The Christ who is all we need. And so I want to just pick out three ways. You know, there's loads of ways I could prove a £10 note is genuine, but I want to pick out three ways that Paul shows them that the gospel they've believed is the genuine article. The Christ they are following is the real Christ. And here they are. He says, continue with Christ. First of all, because the gospel you heard and believed is from God. I don't know if you get letters much in the post, but letters distinctively, don't they, have a postmark. And particularly if a bill comes through, it has the company stamp on it as well. So you see from the envelope that's dropped through your door where it comes from. So I'm a governor of my kids' school, and every so often I get a massive wadge of notes that I have to read before a meeting. But I know what it is before I've opened it, because the postmark is an Enfield postmark, and then it's got a massive Enfield Council stamp on the front of this envelope, so I know exactly where it's come from. Have a look at me at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Here is the postmark, the company stamp on the gospel that they have received. Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus. That means that he's a sent one from Jesus. He has a unique authority from Jesus to be carrying the message about Jesus. He comes with the authority of God. You notice that? By the will of God. This is God's appointed messenger to carry the gospel of the real Christ, the Christ who is all we need. Paul is one who has a unique authority to carry that gospel because he is an apostle. Paul, if you know the story, was vehemently opposed to the church. He was vehemently opposed to the Lord Jesus. And yet the Lord Jesus arrested him, as it were, in his sin. He appeared to him on a road to Damascus. He convicted him of his sin. And then he appointed him as someone to carry the name of Jesus before the nations. He has authority from Jesus to preach about Jesus. And even though he's got this spectacular conversion experience where he's come to know Christ, do you know what Paul is? He's an envelope. He's an envelope with a postmark and a stamp on the front, because he is simply carrying a message from God, which is the message of Christ. Christ is all you need. That's his message. And do you know what that means this evening? It means that Paul's Christ, if I can call him that, is the real Christ. It means that the apostles' Christ is the real Christ. The Christ that these Colossian Christians have heard about is the real Christ. It's the genuine article. Why? Because it's the message that comes from God. And anyone preaching Paul's Christ, anyone's preaching the apostles' Christ, the apostles' gospel, is preaching the real Christ. Now that matters to this group of Christians, because look with me at verse 7. They didn't hear it from Paul. Who did they hear it from? Look at verse 7. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. The Colossian Christians heard it from a man named Epaphras. Now, the phrase that grabbed my attention this week is the phrase that said he was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. Because here is someone who's not preaching his own gospel. It's not like Epaphras thought, I really want a slice of this pie. I really want to get a following. So I'm going to dream up a gospel somewhere along the line. I'm going to go along to Colossae. I'm going to tell all my mates about this person I've invented called Jesus. And then I'll have a following. No, he is passing on the gospel that comes with the authority of God. Because, you see, he's working on behalf of Paul. Paul's gospel. He preaches Paul's gospel, and therefore he preaches the real Christ, the Christ who is all they need. He wants them to have total confidence that the gospel that they have got in their hands is the real thing, because it comes from God. Now we don't have Paul in person, and we don't have Epaphras in person. But we do, by the grace of our Lord Jesus, have the apostles' gospel. We have Paul's gospel, which means that we have the real Christ, if this is the gospel we've believed. We have the genuine article in our hand. It is the real thing. And if that is the gospel that was preached to us, then I want you to have total confidence this evening that the Christ that you have believed in is the real Christ. You don't need anything else. You don't need to chase. You haven't got a fake in your hand. You have the real message of Christ that comes from God himself. The Christ who is all we need for salvation, for wisdom, for knowledge, for strength, for endurance, for the future. It's the real Christ. And as I've studied this passage this week, it's caused me to think, well, who's been an Epaphras in my life? Who's passed on the apostles' gospel to me that I might believe in the real Christ? There's lots of people who've been Epaphrases in my life who have preached this gospel to me. And I'm sure there have been in your life too. And if you're trusting in Christ is all we need, then have confidence this evening that we're trusting in the message that comes from God. It's one of the marks of the genuine gospel. And if you're not trusting in the message of God this evening, in this gospel, for eternal life, for wisdom, for knowledge, for the future, then I simply hold it up to you and say that this is a message from God. This is not made up in a corner. This comes with the authority of God, because it comes from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. The gospel we have in our hands is the real thing. So continue with Christ. Secondly, we continue with Christ, he says, because the gospel you heard and believed changed you. I have a friend who works for a sausage factory, and he wakes up the recipes, which is, believe me, is the most vile job I think you could possibly have. But I rather innocently once, just making conversation, I asked him, well, what goes into sausages? And I have to say that there are some bits of information you hear that change you. And that is a message that I got on that evening that has changed me. Because, okay, I still eat sausages, but I steer clear of certain sausages now because of what he told me. It is true, isn't it, that there are messages, there is information we receive that deeply changes us. I cannot walk down a sausage aisle in a supermarket at the moment with any sense of an unchurned stomach because of what he told me. But it's also true of the gospel. And it's a mark of the real gospel. That when it was preached to us, it changed us. We're introduced to this idea, first of all, in verse 2. Because he says, he goes on to say, the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. This idea of being holy and faithful is a change in them. To be holy means to be set apart. It means to be made different. And then they're told here that they're faithful. If you have a look at your little footnote there, it could mean believing. They have been set apart. This gospel has come to them of Christ is all they need. And as they have responded to this gospel, it has set them apart to belong to a new family. The faith-filled family, the believing family. Those who are marked out by their faith in Christ. I've been struck this week by how much family language there is in this opening section. Brothers, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real family. Why? Because it's changed them. The gospel has come to them and they now belong to a new family. A family of faith. He gives them evidence that as this gospel was preached to them, it changed them. It changed them objectively because it actually changed who they were as they put their faith in Christ. It's given them a new identity. But the gospel also changed them in terms of what they believed, what they thought, what they did with their actions. Let me just show you verses 3 to 5. It's a bit of a chain. Paul has this tendency to kind of connect lots of things together in a sentence. So let's read verses 3 to 5 and let me try and help us to understand it. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Now, it might help us if we work backwards, okay? So let's work from verse 5. In verse 5, it says, the gospel has come to you. The gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, the one who is all we need. That has arrived, and they've heard it. Now, then we're told, well, what's in that gospel? Well, it's a message of hope. Hope of a future, hope of heaven, hope that is stored up for us. As I believe that Christ is all I need, then there is a future, an eternal future. And that's what they heard about. And then as they heard that gospel, what did it do in them? Well, that gospel miraculously kind of grew in them faith in Christ Jesus. That is a deep trust that he really is the one who is all we need. And then it also produced in them this love for all the new believing family. You see the chain? They heard the gospel. It had this message of hope. That hope stirred in them faith and love. That is how they changed when the gospel was preached to them. And Paul says that's another evidence that the gospel that was preached to you is the real gospel. Christ was preached to you and it produced in you faith in him and love for God's people. And it is a God-produced change. It is not something we well up in ourselves and kind of, oh yes, I can produce this in me. Because have a look at verse 3. Who does Paul thank for this change in these people? He thanks God the Father. Because it's God the Father who produces this change in people as they hear the message of Christ. And the same is true for us. Can you look back on a day when the gospel of Christ being all you need was preached to you and it changed you? By God's grace, it produced in you a faith in Christ. Faith being a trust, a deep trust. Faith can be likened to leaning on something. A day when you heard it and you said, I'm going to lean on Christ because I need him. I need him for the forgiveness of my sin. I need him for life. I need him for eternity. Can you look back to a day when that was true? If you can, Paul says, continue with that Christ, because that is an evidence that the Christ you're believing in is the real Christ. And another important aspect is it doesn't stop on a day in the past, because the gospel should still be producing in us faith and love. This is one of the reasons that as a church we are devoted to preaching the gospel every week. Because hearing about the Lord Jesus as the one who is all you need isn't just for starting the Christian life, it is how you grow as a Christian. Is that gospel still producing, growing in you, faith in Christ? One of my prayers on a Sunday morning, here goes a glimpse into my private life, but one of my prayers on a Sunday morning is that I'll have more faith in Jesus by the end of the day than when I began. By coming to church, by being with God's people. Why? Because the gospel of Christ, that's what it does in us. It produces faith in us. And so is the gospel still growing faith in you and love for God's people? If it is, Paul says, well, that's an evidence. That's an evidence that the Christ who was preached to you is the real Christ. So continue with him. Continue with him. And this evening, if you can't as yet look back on a day when you were changed by the gospel, then again, simply I hold up the gospel to you tonight and say that it is a message that calls for faith. It calls for change. It calls for us to trust him. And I would also say, observe the fact that this gospel of Christ, the apostles' gospel, has changed people all around you. Not least because you're sitting in a room full of people who've been changed by that gospel. So continue with Christ, because you've heard that message and it has changed you. And thirdly and finally, continue with Christ because the gospel you heard and believed is changing people all over the world. This is a bit of a false illustration because I don't go into bookshops very often. But when I do, I have noticed that sometimes you go in, you know you get these kind of stands of special books that they're trying to plug massively. And it kind of has this big sign that says, over 1 million copies sold worldwide. You know that kind of thing? I'm not making that up, am I? That does happen in bookshops. Why do they do that? You know, why do they tell you that a book has sold over 1 million copies? Well, because for people like me who don't read very much, you come in and you think, well, that must be a good book. That must be a book I should read because it has sold over 1 million copies worldwide. Perhaps I should buy a copy, start to feel the pressure. Maybe I'm missing out. Millions of people have read this book. Look with me at verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It's as if Paul slaps on the front of the gospel of Christ, this gospel has sold millions of copies worldwide. This gospel of Christ, that is from God and has changed you is doing the same all over the world. India, China, Iran, Iraq, Africa, Australia, France, Italy, all over the world, this gospel is changing people. Now, why is he telling us that? Why is he telling them that? Well, it shows them that the gospel they've trusted really is the real gospel. It really is powerful and effective. They're not stuck in some corner of Colossae in this small town that not many people know about, believing some scam that someone's dreamed up. No, they're part of something much, much bigger, because the Christ who is all that they need, the Christ who is everything, the Christ who is head of creation, head of the church, is a Christ who is changing people all over the world. And I think the very important thing about verse 6, it's just one word, but it really struck me this week. All over the world, this gospel. It's the word this. This gospel is bearing fruit. It's not another one. It's not like it's kind of had to go through some kind of tweak to be preached elsewhere. You know, well, the Italians will never accept this gospel, so we'll have to add a little bit here. Or the people in Africa will never believe this gospel, so we'll have to add another bit here. No, it is this gospel. It is Paul's gospel. It is the gospel that we have preserved here. And this Christ is bearing fruit all over the world as it changes people to believe and to have love for God's people. And he tells them that to give them total assurance that the gospel they've got in their hands, the gospel that has been passed on to them, the gospel they've believed, is the real thing. It is what it says it is. It has the value that it publicizes, because Christ is all they need. And so they should continue with him. And I do wonder as well whether he says it in the kind of way that the bookshops use it as well, which is that you're part of something big. You're part of something much bigger. You're part of something that's enjoyable, that is good, that is full, that is rich. It's the real thing. The gospel of Christ, as all we need, is still bearing fruit. And if you look at verse 6 again, I think he wants us to see, have you noticed this? It's a living picture, isn't it? It's not dead. The message of Christ is not a dead message. It's not something that's been superseded. It's not something that's gone past its sell-by date, because it's a living and active picture. It is bearing fruit. It is producing. A dead tree doesn't grow fruit, does it? A living tree does. And the gospel, the message of Christ as it goes out, is producing fruit because it's alive. What is the fruit it's producing? Well, it is faith in Christ and love for his people. And it's growing. The holy, believing family of our Lord Jesus Christ is a growing family. It may feel like a bit of a dry time in the UK, but don't let it lose your confidence in Christ, because all over the world this gospel is bearing fruit. We support many people in this church and pray for many people who are working all around this world, and some of the reports we hear prove that to be true. And Paul holds that before us tonight, just as he did with them, as an evidence that the Christ that we have believed in is the real thing. And therefore, don't be moved from him. Don't think that we kind of have to present a slightly different Christ to what's in here if we're going to start attracting people that in our workplaces or anything. Why? Because this Christ is the real Christ. And the message of Christ is bearing fruit all over the world. In the gospel, the gospel we've believed, we've been handed something of value. And this evening, Paul wants us to go away. Our Lord Jesus wants us to go away with total confidence that the Christ we have believed in is the real Christ. and we are real Christians. Continue with Christ, because the gospel you heard is from God. It has changed you, and it is changing people all over this world. And so do not lose faith in Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you tonight afresh for the assurance that the Christ in whom we've believed is the real Christ. Please give us assurance and reassurance this week that as we pin our faith in him, we have believed in the one who is real, who has changed us, who is from you, and who is changing people all over this world. Father, may that spur us on this week to continue with Christ, to continue with him as Lord and as all we need. Father, we especially commit to you those who work around the world tonight. We've already thought of the work that's going on in Sri Lanka. But Father, there are other countries that we support and pray for as a church. And we want to thank you for the evidence that all over this world, the gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit. Father, we name before you the country of Turkey. We commit to you Gran Canaria. We commit to you Uganda. We pray for Iran. Father, we pray for Cyprus and for the Middle East. Father, we commit to you South Africa. And Father, we pray with a greater longing tonight for our own country, that the gospel of our Lord Jesus as all we need would bear fruit in this land. Thank you that it has done amongst many of us. Please may we continue with Christ this week, assured that as we believe in him, we believe in the real Christ. Keep us from being drawn away from him as he's proclaimed to us in the scriptures. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.